our calling every day. Maybe some of you are familiar with the theme song to this is a generation song, I have a feeling. Now, do you believe your life is as exciting as the music that we just heard? I mean, isn't that exciting? You know, it kind of generates you to do something. I don't know necessarily if people put that together with being a follower of Jesus. But I actually do believe that when we choose to follow Jesus and to act like Jesus, we will live and experience more life. More life. So, to continue, we need to take heed to some of the things that Jesus said, especially as we follow him. Jesus says, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Jesus made it very clear that the message of those who would follow him was the same as his. As Christians, we are to follow Jesus. It's as if Jesus is leading us by his own actions. So when you think about Jesus, what are those images that come to mind? Maybe that he healed people, that he taught people. Maybe that's something that you're trying to put in your own life to be part of Christ's healing ministry. I don't know about you, but I think there's a little anguish out there in society. Right? Coronavirus, the stock market, presidential politics, all these different things. You know, it's kind of like the last thing you want to do maybe is to turn on the news right before you go to bed because then you can't fall asleep. I'm speaking of personal experience here. It can be overwhelming. But as followers of Jesus, we're to do what Jesus did. And part of that is to continue Christ's healing ministry, just like the hymn spoke about. We see brokenness in the world. And I believe Jesus was trying to heal our world. This passage also says some important things, that following Jesus is going to be difficult. Now, I wanted to back up and give you those two verses before this just so you could see where we are with Jesus and his teaching of his disciples. He's getting ready to go to Jerusalem. And he's telling his disciples this is not going to be an easy road. In fact, it goes to a cross and death. It's not always easy to follow Jesus. And he says he will be raised on the third day. But so Jesus is trying to share this insight with his disciples that they too are going to go through difficult seasons as followers of him. They would experience persecution in many different ways. Many of them too would die because of what they believed. And so I think Jesus as a teacher is trying to cram the most important things in and trying to teach by example of the importance of some of these different things. And so Jesus is being very clear. If you really want to be my follower, then you're going to need to deny yourself, to take up your cross daily and follow. Sometimes it's difficult to follow Jesus. Alexander White wrote, "You're not likely to err by practicing too much of the cross. Ramon Torres said, Christianity is more than just a belief. It is a life of discipline, a firm determination to live a life of prayer and contemplation, a life of self-denial and Christ-likeness. Christians take on the name of Christ, and we are to live as Jesus. Scott Sauls, in his book Irresistible Faith, writes, it is our inclination to replace Jesus' call to deny ourselves, take up our crosses, and follow him. We replace his call with a self-serving path in which we deny our neighbors, take up our comforts, and follow our dreams. Woo! It's got some heat to it. It's not always popular to follow Jesus. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will save it. What is our focus? What is our priority in living? When we follow Jesus, we learn that it's not about what we get that gives us meaning. It's by what we give. By what we give. Those who lose their life for my sake will save it. And then this scripture, which was a picture in my grandmother's living room. What does it profit them if they gain the whole world but lose or forfeit themselves? I think sometimes we are distracted by things that are not of the highest priority. We minor in the majors when we should really major in the majors. We get distracted. I was reading something that said, well, two things actually with the coronavirus. They say one of the worst spots for viruses is on your phone, because we have it all the time. We touch it. We hand it to someone. We put it down. This one person believed that we look at our phone up to 100 times a day. A vast majority of our youth, some would say, are addicted to phones, right? We've all been in the, you know, restaurant, and we see the whole table texting, and you wonder, are they texting each other? But we could be so addicted to things that are of little consequence, and we miss out on following Jesus, and I believe we miss out on experiencing life. Jesus did not predict an easy road ahead. And sometimes as Christians, we should realize it's not easy. Forgiveness is not easy. But Jesus commanded us to forgive others. And as we look at what type of commitment, we see it is important to deny ourselves, to put other people ahead of us. I don't know if it was at a vacation Bible school. Maybe you learned this growing up as well. If you want to experience joy in life, Jesus, others, yourself. See if it's true this week. What does that look like? Now, what I think is a challenge is sometimes Jesus calls us to things that are radical. Later on in this chapter, Jesus is, I think, overemphasizing this point. Especially during that time, Jewish writers would overstate their case, kind of like what we see on television in political debates. Trying to get the point across, we need to overstate it just to say how important it is. Now, let me just say this. Jesus would have failed my pastoral counseling class, all right? Listen to these words of Jesus later on in Luke chapter 9, starting at verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead." Ouch. "But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Do you see why I say Jesus would have failed my pastoral counseling class? Goes on to say, another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Doesn't seem like a big request. "Lord, first, you know, let me go back and say farewell to those at home." "Lord, first, let me." Instead of maybe we should say, "First, Lord." Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Putting Christ first, Jesus is saying here, above everything, family, our past, everything, Jesus is saying, "You need to follow me." That's what it looks like. That's what it means to deny ourselves and to put other people forward. Do you know anyone who has gained the whole world but forfeited their very lives? And what's interesting is we all make excuses. You know, it was the priest in the Good Samaritan parable who made a good excuse, like Anne Marie, just walks on by the other side. I make excuses. You know, the priest, if they, you know, touch a dead body, they can't do their priestly duties for a week. That might get me in trouble with my session. And we make excuses from doing the right thing. Have you ever wished you could go back and get a redo, have a mulligan? This next video is too hard to hear everything, but you will see how some make excuses for not following Jesus.
"But I don't have enough money yet. But others will think that I'm a nerd if I carry the Bible. But they won't like me if I talk about Jesus. But I don't know if God will do what I ask. But I just can't get motivated. But I'm afraid. But I don't have all the answers. But the small group is the same night as Monday Night Football. But can't I just let my life speak for itself? But I'm not happy. But that's not my gift. But that's the pastor's job. But I don't know how to pray. But I can't believe that. But I don't know where to start. But everybody else is the most overused butt of all time. But I just don't have enough time. Really? Oh, come on. We have a lot of butts. God has given us a real simple word. Okay? If we learn it and we share it and we teach it and we live by it, then see, God gets glorified, people benefit, and then we get blessed. That's why we do what we do. That's the why behind the butt. You and I can do that together. We can conquer this. You and I can do it if we start today, okay? I know we can. Let's just do it. No ifs, ands, or..." Yeah. I think you get it.
Can you think of someone who is a true follower of Jesus? Who comes to mind? Who is someone that is sacrificing to help others? One of the blessings of being a pastor in a church is we have the opportunity to see the many different ways people sacrifice for others. People give their time, their energy, in trying to help continue Christ's earthly ministry to heal others. People who are trying to look for those who society has tried to throw on the outsides, and Jesus is inclusive of people on the fringe. It's not always easy, and many times we have to put other people ahead of ourselves. Recently, I saw a video about someone who I believe tried to put her wants and dreams, maybe just for her family, and expanded that to sacrifice for someone in need.
Steve Hartman is on the road in Georgia tonight with a story of compassion and healing, and a man who knows deep in his heart who to thank for his new beginning.
You got a cuff on yourself.
Oh.
During her 35 years as a nurse, Lori Wood has been a hero many times over.
Sweetie, I'm going to take your temperature, okay?
You've saved lives before.
Yes.
But never quite
no.
like this.
No.
I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for her.
When Jonathan Pinkard met Lori, he was homeless.
If I wasn't staying in a shelter, I was staying in my car.
Jonathan is autistic.
Had nowhere to go.
He was raised by his grandma, but she died a few years ago and there was no one else. Then, to add illness to injury, doctors here at Piedmont Noonan Hospital in Georgia diagnosed Jonathan with heart failure at the age of 26. It was so bad, he actually needed a heart transplant or else.
6 months.
6 months they gave you?
There was no hope.
Part of the problem is you can't get a new heart, can't even get on the transplant list if you don't have a home or some kind of support system to help you post-surgery. And since Jonathan has no family to speak of, his fate was sealed. Basically, death by loneliness.
I mean, that just doesn't seem right. Doesn't seem fair. So.
So, although there was nothing Lori could do for her patient as a nurse, she decided there was something she could do as a mom.
It was just in my heart that there was no other choice other than to bring him home. Howdy, howdy, howdy!
After knowing Jonathan just 3 days, Lori invited him home and became his legal guardian.
You had a good day?
I did.
Good.
Jonathan now lives here full-time, along with Lori's son, Austin. And because of her boundless compassion...
Ooh, this looks good.
Jonathan was able to get on the transplant list, and just a few months ago, got his new heart. In a few weeks, he'll be well enough to live on his own again. Although Lori says she has no plans to release him from her care.
This isn't over when he gets better?
No. He's going to go down to my family's house for Christmas with us and go to a wedding with me. And so, yeah, he's a part of the family.
I actually call her mama now.
You call her mama?
I do. She's like a second mama to me. Heaven sent.
She's heaven sent?
Heaven sent.
Any medical professional can make you healthy. But sometimes only an angel can make you all better. Steve Hartman, on the road in Noonan, Georgia.
Proof again that nurses never stop giving.
Did you hear how many days she knew him? 3 days. She could have come up with a lot of buts, right? I believe she followed Jesus. And I don't know about you. I want that same heart for others. Will you pray with me? Lord, we are grateful for people like Lori, for people in our congregation like Gary Aiken and others who are trying to help other people, who are willing to sacrifice personal needs and wants to help others. Help us be able to say yes to following you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I came across an interesting litany that we're going to use as our affirmation of faith. Let me just say this. It's as radical as that scripture that I read later on in Luke chapter 9. But let us stand and responsively say this affirmation together. Jesus said, "Follow me." Jesus said, "If you wish to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Jesus said, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Jesus said, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Jesus said, "Follow me and I will make you fish for people." Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." But Peter looked around and saw John. And he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" And Jesus said, "What is that to you? Follow me." Jesus said, "Follow me." He also said, "Whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me." My problem is not knowledge. My problem is courage. Please be seated.